do experience.
Today I'm talking about engagement strategy and the thing that no one really wants to talk about, but everyone wants to know about, which is budgets. So I will start with engagement strategy. And what I mean by that is that I have spoken about things like content reuse strategy that a brand should think of before they even consider choosing which influencers to work with. Once you've decided what content will be used, what kind of content, in the sense images or words, which I talked about in the last episode of this podcast, then you need to decide that once that content is being put out online by the influencer, how are you going to engage with it as a brand? How do you expect the influencer to engage with it? Because once, for example, I put out an image on Instagram. So the way I engage with content that I update on Instagram is very different from how I engage with content when I put it out on Twitter, for example, or Facebook, or on my blog. So there are various ways of how your audience reacts to the content that you share. So the brand needs to think of not only how they expect the influencer to, for example, respond to comments or questions or queries that they receive, but also how will the brand engage with the audience of the influencer that is engaging with that content. As obvious, a lot of most brands miss out on this. They probably don't even consider this to be important. It is very important because you are essentially creating another layer of influencers around the influencer who you are paying to work with. So these are people who are genuinely curious about your brand, and if you are not responding to their queries or not engaging with them or not reacting to what they have to say, you have wasted money. Ouch. So when I post on Instagram, if it's a dress that someone likes, or it's a piece of equipment, a photograph, or if it's a hotel that I stayed at or a destination that I traveled to, I get questions from people saying, okay, this looks really nice. What was your experience with it? They will ask some questions that I probably did not address in the Instagram update. I might have addressed it on the blog, but a lot of people, the Instagram audience doesn't really go to my blog, and my blog audience, well, my blog audience probably comes more to Instagram than vice versa. So the Instagram audience hasn't really read the blog post. They don't really know the details. So how do you then respond to those people? How have you decided to respond to those people? Have you decided that the influencer will respond to these queries, or does the brand have someone on their team who will sit and respond to these queries? I know it sounds like work. It is work. You are paying the influencer to get you this kind of a response. If there is a response, you must engage.
Okay.
So you must be prepared for it. You have to decide what kind of tone are you going to use. Are you going to be friendly? Are you going to be polite and friendly? Are you going to be, are you going to just address the question and then ask them to follow up further? Are you going to create an extra step for them before they get to an answer, which I don't recommend? How are you going to engage with the responses that you get to this content? You might hire an influencer to do a photo shoot. So when the photo shoot gets published on their blog and on Instagram and on Twitter and on Facebook, and you get responses, how are you going to engage with each of those responses? Because I think it's a lost opportunity if you're not engaging. People might be curious about a new product that they've not heard of. They might have questions which the influencer might not have considered. And you have an opportunity there to make a connection with that person who is asking that question. You this way also generate a set of leads which you can then follow up on after a week's time and say that, hey, you had asked this question and we now have some extra stuff to tell you. Or, if they actually end up buying your product, then you have that name in the database and you can correlate it and you can send them a note saying, hey, thank you so much. You asked us a question about this product when, Nena did something, and now you've actually bought the product and we really appreciate your business. You can make those connections if you have thought about how you're going to engage with the content. Engaging with the content also means how, again, you're going to reuse it, which I've talked about in one of the previous episodes in this series. Now, this is a separate series, Influencer Marketing for Brands, when I'm trying to address how a brand that has probably never worked with an influencer can look at creating a strategy or a campaign around this and try their hand at it. So the first part of today's episode is this. It's pretty much done. Luckily, the second part is quite long because I'm going to be talking about budgeting, and I am also going to be talking about including gifting in that. And, you know, what do you pay influencers? How should you go about gifting? Should you even pay influencers? Should you pay them in money or in kind? Things like that. So let's get on to it. I think I'll talk about gifting first. I think gifting is a great strategy for you to introduce yourself to an influencer who you think is valuable to your brand. If nothing else, the worst case scenario with gifting, I would think, is that they get a product and they use the product. I mean, honestly, you can make sure that they get a product that they will use. Generally, influencers are happy to talk about a product that has been sent to them, even though it's not a paid assignment. But it depends on if you've been nice to them, if you've approached it professionally, etc. You can't just send somebody's unsolicited. Please don't do that. It's not nice. I mean, I'm not saying that you might send them a cheap product. It might be an expensive product, but introduce yourself first. You know, tell them what you do, tell them what you have, and honestly, ask them that, tell them honestly, clearly, that we would love to send you something. These are the 15 things that we would love if you would choose something from, and then send them what they have chosen, because you have just basically given them something that they like. So the likelihood of them using it or talking about it is a lot higher. And I would really seriously tell you that please consider that when you send something to an influencer, please have no expectations, okay? Firstly, internally in your own head or internally in your marketing department, you need to decide that, okay, we have no expectations. We are giving gifts. That is something you should be clear with internally. The other thing that you must not do is that even if you have expectations, please don't put it on email. Please don't actually ask the influencer, okay, we'll send you this and what can you do for us in return? If you're gifting something, then just gift it and forget about it. If you want something in return, then you engage with them professionally. But don't do this. Oh, I'm sending you something, so what are you going to do for me in return? That's a value exchange. And I recommend this to all influencers and bloggers as well. That just because there's no money involved doesn't mean you shouldn't have a contract. You should have a contract always. Even if you're working for free, put it on a contract. Because you still need to put contractual deliverables. You need to put timelines. You need to address expectations. Problems arise when you don't create a contract and you don't set expectations. That's where, in my experience or my career of 12 years, 99% of the times problems have been caused when expectations were not clearly set. If they were set clearly, they were not communicated to the entire team clearly. Generally, that's what causes issues. Of course, there are assholes everywhere, and regardless of how clearly you communicate with them, they continue to be who they are. So sometimes things just don't work out, and you know, shit happens. Budgeting and gifting, I mean, for gifting also you need to have a budget. I mean, you have a product, you've created that product, you spend money creating that product, you spend money on branding, you're going to spend money on couriering it, etc. So I get it, you have expectations. But gifting is one of those things that if done right, it can work really, really well, where you will suddenly have all these organic updates online and you need to track those updates. You can't, I mean, you in the marketing material that you send with the gifts, you can say, okay, our hashtag is this, which is like a hint, hint. But there's no guarantee that the influencer is going to use that hashtag, because I'll be like, why should I use that hashtag? I mean, they haven't paid me, which I think is kind of dumb. But it takes all kinds to create this industry. There have been times where I have done that, and there have been times where I've seen, oh, cool that they have a hashtag. I like this product. They've sent this to me. They asked for my preferences. They were really professional about it. And I'm going to make an update. Now, how an influencer will make that update, it could be in the form of an Instagram story. They might not make an Instagram photo update. They might, post a photo on Facebook, for example, or on Twitter, depending on, you know, what they're most comfortable with. You must keep track of this. Generally, professionally, an influencer will come back to you and say that, hey, you know, thank you. I received the product and this is the update that I made. Hope you like it. So it's you give me a gift and I give you a gift kind of thing. And it can work really well, like really influential bloggers and influencers will sometimes post about small indie brands because they really like the product or they really like what the, you know, the approach the brand took to get in touch with them, for example. So you suddenly get so much organic online content, which you have not invested in that sense. You haven't paid for, because the influencer might otherwise charge a lot of money. And so gifting can work like that. I think it's a good strategy if done well. If you don't do it well, you're just wasting products. I mean, there was a time when I used to get so many unsolicited gifts, which were of no value to me. People send me boxes of cupcakes when I was clearly saying on social media that I'm off sugar for 3 months. So a little bit of research online, and I'm not saying it because, oh, I'm so important, you must follow me on social media. This is the work that I do. Right? You have, as a brand, you have expectations from an influencer. So you must know what the influencer is doing. You know? So from that point of view, I mean, don't follow me, but when you're going to work with me, then, you know, stalk me for a couple of weeks and see what are the things I talk about, what am I up to, am I traveling, etc., etc., and get an idea of what's going on. So that was gifting. Now comes budgeting. Now budgeting again is something like, oh, but it's like how influencers and bloggers ask me, how do I know what to price my blog post for, or when I when I work in the photography industry, photographers ask me, but how did you know what to charge for your first photo or your first assignment? But it's kind of the same thing. I mean, internally in a brand which has a presence or has been around for a long time, you have a marketing department that has a budget. Now you can decide that 10% of that marketing budget will go to working with influencers, and so you have your budget. Now the issue there is that a lot of people want to save that budget and show it on their own, month-end report saying that, oh, we saved so much budget. Which is, I mean, I don't know, maybe it works internally, but the point is you had that budget to spend on working with influencers and you didn't spend it. So if you have that budget, spend it. But you can also, what you can do is you can speak to an agency, a PR agency, you can get advice from them. This might be paid advice, or you could meet someone over a drink or a coffee and have a conversation and figure out. Even me, you know, when brands write to me and say, oh, you know, we want to work with you, what is your rate card? Now, when I started in this business, I did not have a rate card. It was kind of on the fly. I would decide, okay, this is what it looks like, this is how much work it is. And I used to price it on this formula called CODB, the cost of doing business. I have recommended this formula to a lot of independent contractors in the creative industry, where you decide what your cost of doing business is and then you price your services on the basis of that. Now, I do know what my cost of doing business is, but usually what would happen is that I would give that to the brand, and because they didn't understand the kind of effort that was going into the kind of work I did, or they didn't even understand the work I was doing, they would generally react with like, oh my God, this is expensive. So it didn't really work all that well. Then what I did was that was what happened with the rate card. So I had a rate card where I said, okay, Instagram updates, Twitter updates, blog post, number of photos, number of words on the blog post and things like that. And I had like prices for them, which were indicative prices to say that, okay, this is the range that I work in. Didn't work well, again, because people would open it and they'd be like, oh my God, what is this? Oh! And now I think the approach that works really well for me is when someone writes to me and says that, hey, you know, we want to work with you. Obviously, first I'm like, okay, yeah, this looks like an interesting brand. These products look interesting, works with my brand. And then I'm like, okay, you tell me what is the kind of campaign you have in mind. Do you want to do a photo session where I wear your stuff or I pose with your stuff? do you want me to come and photograph the behind the scenes of how the products are being manufactured? Do you want me to come and make portraits of your team? Do you want me to, do you want me to do like only Instagram updates over 3 months, one post every week? What kind of a campaign are you looking at? Is it a new product launch? Is it an event? Things like that. Once I know what kind of campaign they're talking about, then I ask them, what is their budget? Have you thought of a budget? Because they could ask me for the moon and their budget might be very little. So there's no point in carrying that conversation forward or telling them that, oh, all this is possible. Possibilities are many, plenty. The sky is the limit, literally. But if you, the budget is usually a good point to decide how much can be done, because most clients are still shopping on the basis of price. So if you tell me that, okay, my budget is only 10,000, please tell me what all you can do. So I will say that, okay, this is what I can do. Now, should we do it or not? Then you kind of negotiate and they might say, oh, but can you do one extra? And I'll be like, no, but instead of doubling it, can you, increase the budget by 50%? Then I don't mind because it's the first time we're doing it, things like that. But generally, there is no fixed rate as such. I mean, I sometimes even post some updates for some brands for free because they have given me so much business in the past and I love their products. They'll sometimes just send me something and I'll, post an update. It's very, very relationship based. It's very based on how much my brand kind of identifies with that brand. Rate cards are, I mean, I might come and say, okay, I charge 45,000 for one Instagram update. What does that mean? Like, what do you mean by an Instagram update? It depends on the brand. It depends on, if it's a fashion brand, you want me to wear your clothes. Okay, so then are you giving me the clothes on a non-returnable basis or am I going to return those clothes to you, which you will have to have picked up. So you have to think of all these costs involved as well. So I generally ask brands that, okay, I like this, let's do this. Now tell me what is the campaign idea you have in mind and what kind of budget you have. Because it is possible that that campaign idea can be executed in a different way in a smaller budget. Or if you want it executed a particular way and you come to me and say that, okay, mara 7 lakh ka budget hai. So then I'll be like, okay, there's so much that can be done there. Now, again, people are like, oh, but what if we tell you that our budget is 7 and actually the cost of doing that is only 3? So you have a budget of 7 now, what's the problem? I don't understand that. In any case, like the way I work is, I mean, my rates are pretty transparent. A lot of people know how much I charge for various things, etc. So it's not going to be like, oh, unko tumne itne mein bola tha. No, it depends on the circumstances. It depends on the volume of work. If I'm doing a 6-month campaign, then obviously the cost of producing that campaign is a one-time cost where I will be, spending X amount of time shooting that campaign, for example. And then I will, schedule those updates that happen over 3 months or over 6 months. So the cost comes down. But if you just come to me and say, oh, we want just this one standalone thing. And so the effort is the same. It might not be a 6-month campaign, but even if I have to do it just once for one update, the cost is the same. So you need to think of what your budget is internally and, get on a call with an influencer and figure out what are the budget ranges. So sometimes the client is like, no, we don't know what our budget is. You have to give us something. So then I'm like, it could be anything from 10K to, whatever. Like, what do you want? So then, okay, specify what do you want. Then I can sometimes break it up and tell them, okay, this costs this much. From the same campaign, you can use this photo and use it here. So this costs this much. But you understand what I'm saying? There's so much effort involved. And in the end, it probably won't even work out. So I just prefer to know what your budget is in the first place. You tell me what the budget is. I will tell you what the deliverables are possible to the best of my ability. Generally, I want to impress you as well. So it's not like, this much, I can only do this much and I will not do that. Ask my clients. I always over deliver. That's another thing. You need to go back and get references. You need to speak to other brands that have worked with this influencer. And you need to, get some kind of a baseline and understand, okay, this influencer works like this. You will get an idea. But the problem is that involves effort. And generally, our egos get in the way that, no, why should I call? Like, we'll figure it out. But if you are the enterprising kind and you like calling up people and having conversations and, building relationships like that, please, by all means, call. And most influencers do over-deliver. I don't think as an influencer, it's a good practice to sign on with a client for a year where they say, okay, you do 24 Instagram updates and you just stick to 24. I think you know, you do an extra Insta story here and there, most influencers will be more than happy to do that. But again, not if you're being pushy and you're like, "Arey, thoda extra kar dena." No. Then of course, then you know, then the influencer's ego will be like, "Oh no, but like this is what you're paying me for." And so there's a way of dealing with it. Approach it professionally, and experiment and see how it goes. I suggest that you start small. Maybe initially you have a huge budget because you think it's effective, which influencer marketing is. But because you don't know how to navigate or how to go how to kind of approach it, start small. Say that, okay, you know, we internally decide that this is what our budget is and let's see what we can do with this. And then approach one influencer and see how that goes. And take it from there. And every influencer is going to be different. You are working with individuals in an individual capacity. I am not talking about influencers who have teams of people, for example. I am talking about one people armies here. And there are lots of those in India. And you will find all kinds of ranges. You'll find people who, accept 500 rupee vouchers also. You'll find people who charge lakhs of rupees for an Instagram update also. Even though their Instagram followers might not be genuine, there's no way to tell. So the industry is quite muddy. There's no way to kind of figure out in the moment or immediately that who is authentic. You need to spend some time. You need to experiment. You need to work with a wide spectrum of people and figure out what turns out to be more relevant to your brand in that sense. Which is why I keep going back to what is the goal of the campaign, which is extremely important. And that will help you sort out a lot of the other stuff which comes later, which is things like budgets and, gifting and whether gifting even makes sense or not. And it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be a gift of your product. It could be, you might not even have a physical product, right? You might have, you're a hair salon, for example. The hair salon might send a packet of hair products to the influencer. But the packaging will be branded in the hair salon's packaging. See? So it's not just ki it's your product and you have to gift it. I mean, your product could be a Rolls Royce, you know. I mean, I don't think you'll send a Rolls Royce to an influencer. I mean, not if you're working for the first time with any influencer. But you could send them a leather belt with a Rolls Royce logo on it. You could send them a pair of shoes or, you know, some kind of accessories, a leather bag. So That's where it kind of comes in, where you need to experiment and see and what works. And again, budgeting is, you know, it's as arbitrary as it is, there is a method to the madness, just like I advise bloggers and influencers and independent contractors to set their prices based on their cost of doing business. I advise brands to consider a certain percentage from their marketing budget to go for influencer marketing and take it from there. And see how it goes. I mean, generally people are nice. Generally, they're not out to, deceive you and say that, because your budget is X, so I will do this in X. They will say that, okay, this budget is great and we can do 10X in this, etc. Of course, there will always be bad apples on both sides. As much as I crib about brands and PR agencies, I know enough about my own industry to know how some people operate. There is no escaping that, but word travels fast. If you talk to people, they will tell you how others are, etc. And you can kind of go in prepared to make up your own mind that, I was told these things, but my interaction was like this. So maybe, they get along with you, or maybe they've changed, or it could be anything. Experimentation here is key. Because this is not an industry which is set up yet. It is still being born. There are, for example, so many influencers in the market right now, and it's kind of like feeling like a bubble. Not yet. I think in another year, a couple of years, it feels like a bubble and it might pop. So, place your bets a little carefully. Look at it. And of course, if your project or your campaign does well, then you know who to work with. Right? If you hit all your goals, then you know that, with this influencer, I got sales. So I want to work with them again and again and again and again. And then to bring in some fresh blood in the middle, you're like, okay, we have some extra budget this month. Let's see if we can work with this one more person, for example. So yeah, that's part five for influencer marketing for brands. I haven't, as per freaking usual, not received any questions, but I still have my note cards, which have kind of created a mind map of what leads where, etc. So the two things we talked about today were engagement strategy and budget/gifting. Next time, I will probably talk about one or two other things and a general overall view of what we have spoken about till now, after which I will switch to actual influencers and how to figure out who to work with and how to figure out things like who will be more relevant, why will an influencer work with my brand, and things like that. Thank you for listening.